I copy that. I just finished up with that yesterday. I took advantage of the nice weather and moved some snow. I had it pretty well cleaned up, but I just wanted to move some of the snow so that I didn't have so when it melts it would run off the property better than where it was. You know, I just to get it everything opened up. I just made snow piles, and so I moved some of that snow out to the road where it can melt into the ditch and run away into the river. But yeah, the water pump on, what kind of snowmobile is that? I haven't had much experience with water pumps on liquid-cooled snowmobiles, but they're a screwdrive, aren't they? They, like a Helica gear that is driven off the crank, because it's not driven off the front of the crank, obviously, that's where your clutch is. Yeah, and then the backside is usually your starter recoil and whatnot, so, yeah, you know what I do, I've got a bench built for my sleds that I put it up on a bench. The bench is about 2 feet, maybe 18 inches high, and I'll tell you, that sure saves your back. I still got a couple sleds. I'm an Arctic Cat guy, and I got a 13, a Bearcat that I use for ice fishing mostly up north, and then I've got an older Crossfire. It's an old 06 700. I don't ride that thing too much anymore, but still got it. Back to you, Harley.
Yeah, V5REG, V5HLT. Yeah, this is a Polaris, a 97, and it's the 700 triple, and the pump is at the front of the engine underneath the exhaust manifold, which all has to come off and to be able to get at it, and you're down there, and, you know, I was thinking of buying one of those scissor lifts for working on sleds. Boy, I tell you, I bent over there, it doesn't take long, and you got to rest, but, I want to build something like you have there. You could pull it up or run it up on a ramp and then work on it, but, this pump, and they're not cheap either. It's $285 for this pump, and it's driven off the, you're right, it's a gear driven off the front of the, off the crankshaft, and the front of the motor, and something's not right. I'm going to have to yank it apart again, and of course that means draining the coolant and pulling the exhaust system, and oh boy, I tell you, I'm getting too old for this, and of course, you drop something, and it's gone into a hole down there somewhere you can't get at, and it's tough working on these sleds.
VE7.
Yeah, they're pretty compact for sure, but I don't know, working on some of these newer cars too is pretty hard. I changed out the transmission in my wife's car here not too long ago. It's a 13 Mazda 3. And holy man, I'll tell you, they got that thing shoehorned into that car. Man, the stuff you got to take out, take apart. And then a heater, HVAC fan is making noise, and I thought, well, that'll be a nice, easy job. I popped out the glove box compartment there the other day, figuring the HVAC fan would be right in front of my face. Well, it's nowhere to see, so I checked out a YouTube video, and holy man, they got that thing buried in the very front of the passenger compartment. So to get at it, you just about have to take the whole dash apart, and the center console and everything has to come out. Man, this video I watched was probably an hour long. I skipped through some of the parts, right? But holy holy man did he have to rip that car apart. So I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that. It didn't look like a lot of fun. I like working on stuff when it's not too bad to get at. But mind you, I've been working on that 6.7 power stroke I got in my truck this winter, and I'll tell you, that's a pretty hard engine and stuff to work on too. Holy man, it's not like the stuff I worked on when I was in the trade, you know, the older cats and that. Boy, those things were easy compared to the stuff these days. Yeah, I'll swing it back to you there, Harley.
Those Fords now, I think they lift the cab to do work on the engine, if it's a major job anyway. Yeah, they pull the whole cab and work on stuff now. So, yeah, but of course, I don't know, maybe you've got a hoist there. I don't know. To change the transmission, of course, that'll be front wheel drive probably, and attached to the engine sideways in the front of the vehicle. So that must have been a job if you didn't have a hoist.
It wasn't too bad that way. I blocked the car up real high because you don't have to do too much from the top. It's mostly underneath. And once you got everything out of the way, the linkage and everything that's attached to it, and there's a bunch of stuff you got to move. Yeah, you just got to lower it down to the ground. And I just used a, what did I use? I think I just used a ratchet strap. I definitely used a ratchet strap to get it back up into place. I just laid a 2x4 over the grill and where the wipers are, and hooked up a ratchet strap. The transmission's not very heavy. I think it's, what was the weight on it? Because I finally used one in Calgary, and they shipped it to me, and the shipping weight was around 70 or 80 pounds. It's a manual transmission, so a little bit lighter than an automatic. Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Okay, well that's not too bad. Yeah, manual on those would be a lot easier. I've changed a few transmissions in my day, but they're all older, in a 74 Chevy half ton, four speed with the bull load. I was a heavy tranny, and I just put a 2x4 across the windows, then winched it up there with a winch and got it lined up and pushed it in. But of course I was a lot younger back then too, in my early 30s, so it could do work like that. But oh boy, I don't know, and working under a dash in a car now, oh, that's tough to do. That is tough.
Yeah, what I do when I'm working underneath the dash on a car, or even my truck, I'll make something temporary that I can lie on that's pretty much flush with the rocker panel where you step into the vehicle, and that's a whole lot more comfortable than trying to get in there with your legs up on a seat. Yeah, I've even taken the door off, just to give me more room to work underneath like that. The last three years of my career, I was working at the mine at Allen and underground, and they gave me a nice job, being that I was the old guy in the shop, and they knew I was going to retire in a few years, so they let me just to work on the Toyota Land Cruisers that we had underground. We had a pile of them. And if you know anything about mining, miners are really hard on vehicles, so it was always steady employment, and I got pretty good at working on the smaller stuff, you know, the vehicles, and learning tricks for working under dashes and stuff like that. Those Toyotas were actually pretty nice to work on, though. They were, even the engine compartment and that was all pretty open on them. They just had an inline six-cylinder diesel, and it was old school. Even though the trucks were pretty new, they were old school. There was no electronic fuel or anything. It was all mechanical fuel systems on those trucks. You only had one wire for the to the injection pump for the fuel shutoff. That was it. So it was nice working on those things. Pretty low tech and whatnot. And yeah, some tricks to it, but you figure them out after a while. But anyway, so you out on a farm, do you farm?
No, I'm on an acreage here at the Catepa Lake. I'm not lakefront, I'm hillside, overlooking the lake. So I've got 6 acres here, and we'd put up a we've owned this property for 25 years, but I put up a shop in 2000, and just about 4 years ago we brought an RTM in. So yeah, I've been here for quite some time, and well, I retired about 5 years now, and well, I come down and keep busy at the shop and try to stay busy, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, that's funny, I built my shop the same year. I'm in Craven, and, yeah, we've got two lots in town here, so we've got quite a bit of room. Actually, what happened is I originally bought the first lot, which had a mobile home on it, and I was able to eventually buy the lot right next door to me on the south side. It had an old shack of a house on it that was abandoned, and I was finally able to buy it from the guy that whose aunt owned it, and yeah, I tore that house down, and then we built a new house there, and then I moved that mobile home out to the guy bought it up by Sultan. And yeah, after I got that mobile home out, I built that shop. And yeah, I started in 2000, got the walls up and all seated in, roof, you know, it was all closed in, doors on it. And then from there, it took me about 4 more years to completely finish it off. I've got a heated floor in it. I've got a wood stove to as a backup. While the heated floor just keeps it above freezing, and then I use the wood stove to make it comfortable in there. And yeah, finished it all off with metal on the inside, and yeah, it turned out pretty nice. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, those things, they pay for themselves over and over and over. You know, it's just so handy having a heated shop to work on vehicles and stuff, you know. That's one thing I'll never regret spending money on. But anyways, talking about the shop, I'm going to get out there pretty quick here, Harley, so I'll let you go. Thanks for the QSO, and good luck with your snowmobile there. I'll be curious to know what went wrong there. I got to drag my snowmobiles out too and check them over. I think we're going to head up to DeChambeau here in a couple weeks and spend a few days up there ice fishing. So, anyways, yeah, I'll say 73 V5 HLT V5 RET. We'll be clear on your final.
grateful that you get to work there. I know you're just biting at the bit to get out there. So, well, you take it easy, and yeah, if we don't talk to you before you go up fishing, hey, you guys have fun. Hopefully the weather is changing here and it'll be a little warmer. All days are getting longer, and be nice to go ice fishing now. So, yeah, make sure those sleds are tuned up and you don't want any problems, that's for sure, when you're going that far away.